Hashtag.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope your day is starting off well. It's not too bad out there. 40 degrees and it's going to be in the mid-60s today. Can't go wrong with that. It's going to be a nice spring day. A perfect day for opening day at Fenway Park. Home opener this afternoon, as you heard Phil mention, and of course they'll be honoring the 2004 Red Sox, a number of players in attendance, and they'll also be honoring Tim Wakefield and his wife Stacy as well. Now, some players won't be there from the 2004 team. Some of them have jobs in Major League Baseball or in broadcasting that will prevent them from being able to attend. But there'll be a pretty large contingent. So that should be a nice ceremony coming up later on this afternoon. You'll also, I think, enjoy just being outside today if you get that chance. Did you get outside yesterday? Did you see the eclipse? Is everybody still here? Were any of you raptured? Were any of you taken away by aliens? Were any of you beamed into another dimension or sucked into the earth? No? Yeah, that's what I thought. It was cool. I mean, I was able to just pop open the back door here at WBSM and had my eclipse viewer glasses on and just poked my head out a couple times and saw what was going on. And then around 3:20, I stood outside for 15 minutes and watched everything that went on and came back in and went back to work. So glad that I saw it, but wouldn't have been hugely disappointed if I didn't. You certainly weren't going to catch me driving 4.5 hours. Now, if I had, taken the time to plan things with friends, maybe, friends who live 4.5 hours away, but I wasn't going to drive all that way just to look up at the sky. To see something that really wasn't that much different than I saw here out the back door of WBSM. But you did have that, that fingernail of light, because we didn't have 100% totality here, but it was still pretty cool to see. Watching it get dark, and it was funny because I kept popping my head out the back door where the sun was, and the sky was a little darker, but still kind of bright. And then I walked back to my office, and my office is across from the WBSM studio, which has a big window in it that the studio does that looks out on the other side of the building. And so I sat down at my desk, and I could see out the studio window from my desk. And I was like, oh, it's a lot darker on that side of the building. So it certainly, it was different. It was weird, but it was fine. I noticed, too, in the story that we had about all the schools and what their eclipse plans were, there were a lot of comments from people who said, well, I kept my child home from school. And I wonder how many parents were like, I could have just picked you up like a half an hour early. Why did I keep you home the whole day? But I hope all the kids got to see it. I hope even the DR kids somehow got to see it, even though the school wasn't going to let them go outside. And I hope that everybody enjoyed it. Now, save those eclipse viewer glasses for 20 years from now so that you're not scrambling around looking for them when the next one comes. And don't think that you can't hang on to them. I can open up a drawer on my desk and find things that I put in there 20 years ago. It's just, it was crazy yesterday seeing everybody trying to get last minute eclipse viewer glasses as if they didn't know this was happening. Granted, I was probably a little bit late to the eclipse party. I started paying attention in like March. But still, I was well aware that it was coming. But I'll be honest, if T-Mobile hadn't done that free giveaway for eclipse glasses, which, you know, you all got paper 3D glasses type glasses. I got a pair of sunglasses with a clip on. So now I've got a nice pair of T-Mobile sunglasses to wear. Although I wear those glasses that go over your glasses, sunglasses that go over your glasses. So I look like a dad from the 80s. But people were scrambling around trying to get those glasses. I mean, you heard Chris yesterday. By the way, I don't think people really understood. A lot of that was just Chris riffing and having a good time. He was not begging for eclipse glasses. It was what we call shtick. But anyway, and it was hilarious. I was cracking up in my office listening. But people were messaging us and saying, where can we get these? They're calling the station. Where can we get them? And unfortunately, everybody that we knew of that had them had run out. So I would just advise you, if you're going to be around in 20 years and if we're going to have the same opportunity to see this eclipse, I would say, you know, plan ahead. Get those glasses a couple of months before. Don't wait until the day of and expect you're going to be able to find them. And those of you who did find them and have some, hang on to them because, hey, make a few bucks next time. What I was happy to see is that the people who had them and had extras on social media and were like, hey, I have eclipse glasses. If anybody needs them, there were a few people that were posting about it. Most of them were either offering them up for free or just asking for what they paid for them, like a buck or two a pair. So people weren't capitalizing on this, at least that I saw. I'm sure there were people that were selling eclipse viewers for 20 bucks. But at least the people that I saw were being considerate of the situation and were trying to do their best to just help people be able to look at the sun directly. Now that you have your eclipse viewers too, I would not recommend just going out there and looking at the regular sun with them. Still going to be a little bit bright, but hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do either. 508-996-0500. Today we are going to be joined a little bit later on. We're going to be speaking with someone from the Greater Boston Food Bank. She's actually the CEO, Cheryl Schondeck. We're going to be joined by her in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about food insecurity in New Bedford and what the Greater Boston Food Bank is doing, teaming up with some other organizations to help New Bedford seniors. They did a food drive last month where they were offering food packages for seniors that live in New Bedford housing. And this is the first of many times that they plan on offering this, as well as some other programs that will be put on. So we're going to talk with her about food insecurity in New Bedford for seniors and how they're helping to combat that. You know, every organization out there, we know that there are a lot of people that need help and they kind of have to narrow the focus of who it is that they want to help. So, for example, you know, we work with the United Way of Greater New Bedford with our Hunger Heroes food drop twice a year. And that's really a focus on kids and families. You know, we just did the spring Hunger Heroes food drop, and all those donations that we collected are now being packaged up and provided to kids. They'll get them to them this week so that next week when they're on school vacation, they'll have healthy snacks and lunch foods and things like that. And then in the fall when we collect food, it's for Thanksgiving. And so that's families will come and benefit from that, and they will get everything they need for a full Thanksgiving dinner. But seniors are often forgotten about when it comes to the idea of food insecurity. People take for granted that they're okay. And Barry talked, you know, a few weeks ago about the Meals on Wheels program, and things like that help, but there's more of a need, especially as, you know, seniors on a limited budget find themselves having to decide as prices go up on things, do I want to buy my medicine or do I want to eat the foods that I'm supposed to eat? It's not so much a matter of starving, but it's a matter of not having the proper diet. Not being able to have access to the things that will keep you healthy. So this will be a way to kind of offset that. So we'll talk about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And I know a lot of you, you know, you may be someone who can benefit from the program, or you may have a loved one that can benefit from the program. So again, that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We will have Cheryl Shondek, the COO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. 508-996-0500 is the number to reach out to me. You could also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There are a couple of stories in the news today, one in Massachusetts, one in Rhode Island, that are hugely disturbing, that have to do with animal cruelty. In Rhode Island, in Pawtucket, there were 40 dogs that were seized yesterday from, quote, terrible conditions at a home. The Rhode Island SPCA president, Wayne Kazarian, said the dogs were matted to the point that they're going to need some medical shaving and treatment. The stench is awful. No way to describe this other than horrendous. It was described as a hoarding situation. And Kazarian called it the worst he had ever seen. Not one of the worst, he said. This is the worst I've ever seen, not one of the worst. That's his exact quote. There is literally 6 inches of dog feces in the garage we are standing in front of. So the house was condemned. The dogs were removed and taken to the Pawtucket Animal Shelter. Now, in this story, I don't see anything about any charges yet. That's from ABC6. I can check some of the other Rhode Island sources to see if there are any charges that have been filed yet, but I'm just taking a look at this WPRI version of the story. So, yeah, that says charges had not yet been filed, but that they wouldn't rule it out. And then in Massachusetts, in the town of Ayr, 162 animals were seized from a from an Ayr home, and the woman has been arraigned. A 77-year-old woman has been arraigned on 30 counts of animal cruelty charges. Police responded to her home for a well-being check back on February 20th, where they initially observed 2 ponies, several goats, and ducks roaming outside the property. They also saw several dead goats, both inside and outside the home. And as they continued to go around the property, they found even more and more deceased animals. goats and chickens, as well as livestock. So 162 animals were seized from the property, including 49 goats, 91 chickens, 11 ducks, 8 geese, 2 ponies, and 1 dog. And the 77-year-old woman, Ruth Maxent Schultz, she was released on personal recognizance, but she's not allowed to possess, work, live, or have unsupervised contact with animals. And she also surrendered all rights to the animals that were seized. She'll be back in court June 20th. But, I mean, we're no stranger, unfortunately, to animal cruelty stories around here. We've had a number of them on the South Coast over the years. But 162 animals seized in Ayr and 40 dogs seized in Pawtucket. And both in situations where those who investigated it called it the worst that they'd seen. And listen, I get it. Not everybody forms emotional attachments to animals. And certainly if you have a farm, which it looks like this woman from the aerial photography in this story might, you know, that might have been what this was. You can look at it as, you know, just business or just how the farm operates. You don't have to have that emotional attachment to the animals. But dead and decomposing animals just laying out there, that's not good in any situation. So just horrific stories. And sorry to start your day that way, but that's what's in the news. 508-996-0500. Going to take our first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments. Get me wrong, but it's, you know, it's 508-996-0500. That's the right number. I have been known to give out the wrong number from time to time. If you ever go back and listen to podcasts, I might have accidentally given out my cell phone a few times. Might have given out my office line, which I don't even answer most of the time. I'm not in the office running around. Anyway, hey, you're going to have your chance to win cash coming up later on today. 10 chances this morning to hear that code. It's a different code each hour. You enter it in, you can win cash on WBSM. I'll tell you more about that coming up in a little bit, but it's brought to you by our friends at Architect Managed IT Services. All the details are there for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Now it is time to go into the newsroom, though, and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
Biden has a plan to cut student loan debt for millions, a college ban on transgender athletes, and people rush to Google after an eclipse problem.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Biden administration is proposing a new plan to slash student loan debt for more than 30 million borrowers. The plan announced Monday would affect those with, quote, runaway interest, borrowers who have been paying on loans for 20 years, and those who qualify for income-driven repayment plans. The White House estimates the plan could eliminate accrued interest on 23 million borrowers' unpaid balances. A major sports governing body is banning transgender athletes from women's sports competitions. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics Council of Presidents approved the policy in a unanimous vote Monday after a survey indicated heavy support for the ban. House Speaker Mike Johnson this week set to tackle a foreign aid bill that funds Ukraine, but some of his fellow Republicans are still pushing back. Democrats argue they spent months negotiating a bipartisan bill in the Senate that combines enhanced border security with foreign aid, only to have former President Donald Trump order Republicans in both chambers to kill it. It's sentencing day in Michigan for James and Jennifer Crumbley, the parents of Oxford High School shooter Ethan Crumbley. Both were convicted in separate trials on four counts of involuntary manslaughter for the November 2021 shooting deaths of four students, and they'll be sentenced together. They face a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison, and the Oakland County Prosecutor's Office is recommending at least 10 years for each parent. The 2024 Maryland General Assembly session ended at midnight, with lawmakers passing hundreds of bills, including the Port Act. The emergency legislation was introduced by Senate President Bill Ferguson in the days following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The measure is designed to help Port of Baltimore workers affected by the bridge collapse. And Google Trends shows searches for "Why do my eyes hurt?" or "eyes hurt" spiked during Monday's solar eclipse. Tammy Trujillo has more.
The term saw a jump in the number of searches around 2 p.m. Eastern, which is about the time the eclipse started to be seen in the U.S. Searches peaked at 3 p.m. Eastern. Other popular searches in the U.S. on Monday included "Can I look at the sun?" and "Solar eclipse, no glasses." Those who wanted to view the eclipse were advised to use a special pair of glasses to avoid eye damage. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Boston Red Sox will honor the 20-year anniversary of the curse-ending 2004 championship team at today's home opener. The team today also honoring longtime pitcher Tim Wakefield and his wife Stacy, who both recently died from cancer. After the festivities, the Red Sox will play the Baltimore Orioles in the first home game of the season. Boston played the first 10 games of the season on the road, compiling a record of 7 wins and 3 losses. Game starts around 2 o'clock today. The Bruins home to play the Carolina Hurricanes at 7 tonight, and the Celtics on the road to play the Milwaukee Bucks at 7:30. And by the way, the UConn Huskies, once again, the NCAA men's basketball champions. The Huskies used a big second half to defeat Purdue 75-60 Monday in Arizona. It's the 6th national title in UConn's history.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Another gorgeous day in store this morning. Mid-upper 40s, mostly clear skies. As we head into the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Temperatures quite seasonable in the mid-upper 50s. The breeze out of the east, 5 to 9 miles per hour, keeping the coast much cooler. Overnight tonight, mostly cloudy, lower 40s. As we head into tomorrow, clouds will increase in the afternoon with a chance for showers. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Didn't run away with anybody while he was here. The bassist for The Cure, Simon Gallup, paid a visit to Fall River last week and specifically visited Miss Lizzie's coffee shop. And you can read the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Fun 107's Gazelle has all the details there. But he came by. He has a family member who is acquainted with the staff over at Miss Lizzie's. and he had wanted to come and visit the coffee shop. So he went by after hours for a little visit and talked to Lizzie Borden with the Pereira family. And they took a photo and posted it up on social media. You can see the photo, too, at WBSM.com and on the app. But one of many celebrities that are planning visits to the coffee shop, as it's been in the news lately, with the lawsuit coming from the house, and it's only increasing the profile of the coffee shop and getting people that want to come and visit. Although owner Joe Pereira was tight-lipped about who's coming, he did say that there are some other visits planned in the future. So you never know who you might run into when you're stopping in there for a coffee. But yeah, if you are a fan of The Cure, check that story out. And if you're not a fan of The Cure, go listen to some of their music. It's not as depressing as people make it out to be. Everybody likes to act like The Cure is a depressing band, but a lot of their songs are upbeat and peppy. Just some of them are not. But a fantastic band nonetheless. And one that's been around for a long time. So certainly legends at this point. 508-996-0500. Speaking of stories on WBSM.com and on the app, I did put up the story yesterday of New Bedford's WrestleMania representation. You probably know already that the ring announcer for Monday Night Raw, Samantha Irvin, is actually Samantha Johnson, the New Bedford, you know, we've been supporting her for years. Singer, flautist. She's been on a couple of reality competitions and lifelong WWE fan. And a few years ago, she got the opportunity to become a ring announcer for NXT, their developmental brand. She wasn't there long before they moved her up to the main roster. And she has now become one of the most beloved ring announcers in wrestling history. The fans love her. The wrestlers love her. Last night, Cody Rhodes gave her a spotlight on Monday Night Raw. And she went viral for her emotional call of Cody winning the WWE Universal Championship. They got to do something about that name. Just go back to calling it the WWE Championship, please. But they, you know, obviously they share out on their social media all of this stuff. But before the WWE even shared it out, people were putting it out there on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. People were, you know, it was resonating with them because it was such an emotional moment. And she was overcome with emotion. And if it's real, it's not manufactured, it's not, hey, let's have our ring announcer cry while she's making the announcement. It was real and genuine because she is invested in the not only the storylines of WWE, but the people. Now, she doesn't hang off on the side and wait for her time to announce. She's friends with everybody. She's engaged to a WWE superstar, Ricochet. They all post backstage photos hanging out with her like she's one of the gang. She's one of the people in the back. They used to say, you know, one of the boys in the back, but it's not the case anymore. But she's one of them. She's accepted into that kind of special society that is the WWE locker room. And so she is emotionally invested in it, and it resonated, and fans were loving it, and they were sharing it. It had almost 1 million likes on Instagram when I wrote the story. It's probably up over that by now. And you can see it for yourself in that story. Even if you don't have Instagram, you can see it in there. You'll be able to play the little video. And then, of course, our own local pro wrestler, Teddy Goods, getting the chance to be on stage as one of the Braveheart Warriors for Drew McIntyre's entrance. And I got a message from somebody that said, hey, don't you know Ted? Couldn't you just like talk to him and get a quote for that story? And yeah, I do. And yeah, I did talk to him. But let's just say WWE has, once you're involved with them, they have policies. You have to go through them for everything. So I didn't feel the need to go through all those steps. In the old days, before they had this big corporate structure that they have now, you know, before it was owned by Endeavor, or now they have this new company, TKO, before it was all of that, it was a lot easier. Their PR guy was accessible. It wasn't a team of people. It wasn't an office, a department. It was one guy. And he kind of wore many hats, but you could always just text Joe and say, "Hey, Joe, I need a photo of this person for a story." Or, "Hey, Joe, would it be possible to get an interview with this person?" Or, "Hey, Joe, if you're coming into Boston or Providence, can somebody call into the radio station?" Like, it was a lot easier back then. Now it's a whole thing. There was a couple of people, but Joe was basically the point person for all of that. I'll never forget standing outside a John Cena concert. Yeah, that's right. I said it. A John Cena concert at Axis in Boston when his rap album came out. And I'm standing outside waiting to go in, talking to Joe. And we were talking about my old Inside Wrestling column in the Standard Times. And I was, you know, just like, yeah, of course. Like, nobody, you know, nobody in WWE knows what I write. Vince McMahon doesn't know who I am. And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, yes. Yes, he does. He knows everybody that writes about his product." I was like, "Oh, geez." Didn't realize that I was under that much scrutiny for just writing about wrestling rumors and predictions of what I thought was going to happen. But still felt kind of good. Like, oh, wait, Vince knows who I am. Didn't stop them from never calling me when I applied to work there many, many times as a writer or as a journalist for WWE Magazine or anything, but that's all right. Anyway, 508-996-0500 or app chat or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. As I mentioned earlier, we do have Win Cash starting for you at 8 a.m. this morning. We will have a new code every hour all the way through the 5 p.m. hour. Each time you hear that code, if you go to WBSM.com or open up the WBSM app and you go to the Win Cash page, you'll see the box to enter in all those codes. There's a different box for each code for each hour. And if you're not sure where to go, at the top of WBSM.com, it says Win Cash. Just click on that. On the app, there's a little icon of a money bag in the middle of your screen. Just press that. That's going to bring you to the same page no matter how you're going there. And that has all the boxes to enter in the codes each hour. Each hour as you enter those codes, you'll be entered to win the $100 hourly prize. And each one of those codes that you enter in is also an entry to try to win the $30,000 grand prize. So it's a lot of opportunities to win cash on WBSM, brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. If you still have any trouble with that, you can always email me, tim@wbsm.com, and I'll try to walk you through it as best we can. But I've noticed that, you know, as the days have gone on, the number of people trying to send in those codes via app chat or email has gone down. So I think everybody's kind of figuring it out. It is, you know, it's relatively new. We did Win Trump's Money back in the fall. But this is really, you know, still a new thing. So it's all right. Some growing pains as we do it. But hopefully we can bring this to you more often in the future. I'm going to take a break right now. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Did that happen to anybody during the eclipse? Did you start floating above the world? No? Yeah, I didn't think so. But, you know, the sun back to normal, shining right in my face, right through the studio window, directly into my face. It's that time of year. So I had to pull the shades down. But when you wake up 6:50 in the morning and you poke your head out and you see the beautiful sun shining in the sky like this, you might think to yourself, oh, man, maybe I do want to go solar. Maybe I do want to put in solar panels on my home. But you don't know how to do it. You don't know what the first step is. You don't know what's real, what's not real, what to believe and what not to believe. Well, that's why you want to reach out to Isaacson Solar, because they are a local Fall River-based company. So they're right here on the South Coast. They're not going anywhere. They're here in it for the long haul with you, and they want to help you save money with solar, but only if it's right for you. And that's why they will come to your home, they will take a look at your home, and they will give you a simple, honest assessment as to whether or not you are a good fit for solar. And if you are, then they'll give you a free, no-obligation quote. But they're not going to waste your time if they don't think that solar is going to work for you. More importantly, they're not going to waste your money if they don't think that solar is going to work for you. And they will answer all your questions about all the gimmicks that you've heard about. Can you really get paid to go solar? Can you really eventually get to the point where the energy companies are paying you? They can answer all of those questions for you. And it all starts by going to isaacsonsolar.com. So head on over to isaacsonsolar.com today and see if solar is right for you. But the sun is right here in my face, shining brightly and saying, hey, I could be powering your home. All right, I want to bring up something here that's an interesting story, WBSM.com. This was going around social media yesterday, and I can't believe how much people fell for this, because anybody with any common sense would have realized that this wasn't happening. But Antonio Gibson, who is a new running back for the Patriots, they signed from the, he was formerly from the Washington Commanders. There was a photo going around yesterday of his new locker at Gillette Stadium. And in the photo, you know, there's like a little LED board over everybody's locker where it has their name and their number. And this photo was supposedly of Antonio Gibson's locker displaying his new Patriots number, 12. And people who fell for this were going nuts. How can somebody else wear number 12? There's only one number 12. And I was actually in the studio here with Jason working on, we had some technical issues yesterday. And Michael Rock came in and showed it to me. And he's like, I would assume that 12 is retired, or that it's, you know, that's going to be retired soon. And I said to him, I said, you know, the Patriots don't actually retire numbers anymore. And he was kind of incredulous at that. He's like, really? They've got so many guys from that dynasty era that you would think they'd want to retire their numbers, or at least at the very least, number 12. And I said, you might want to reach out to the Patriots and talk to Stacey James about it, because they don't retire numbers anymore. And indeed, Stacey talked to Michael for the story, and Stacey told him they haven't retired a number since 2000, but that they don't have a rule against it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady becomes, you know, the next number to be retired. And it could happen as soon as this season. But for the most part, the Patriots don't retire numbers, because there's, you know, it's a large roster in football and there's not a lot of numbers available. And if they started retiring numbers for all of the great players of the dynasty era, like the Celtics did for their great teams, they would be very limited in what numbers they have. And especially because only certain numbers can be worn for certain positions. So it makes it even harder. In basketball, anybody can wear any number. You can go anywhere from 00 to 99. And you only have 12 players on the court at any time. So you're able to have more flexibility with retiring numbers. Baseball, kind of the same idea. Hockey, same thing. But in football, you don't have that. You've got a 53-man roster, but plus there's other players. So you don't have that kind of flexibility. You need all those numbers. But 12 might be the exception there. But no. No, Gibson is not going to be wearing number 12. He's going to be wearing number 21. Somebody just had some Photoshop fun and then made it look like he had shared it on his Instagram account and people just lost their minds. But hey, it was an eclipse, right? So if you become a lunatic during an eclipse, that's totally acceptable. Pink Floyd told us all about that. All right, going to take the next break here. We'll be back in a few.
Tom.
All right.